Good morning.
The last couple times I've been sharing, and today I want to talk about redemption, because I want to, before I get started, I want you guys to know where we're going. And a lot of times we talk about redemption, we think of our salvation. And that was actually part of it, the kinsman redeemer, Ruth, Boaz, we're going to go to, but also property. Because I think if you're like me, there's some decisions that we wish we wouldn't have made, some businesses that failed, some relationships. How many of you like to have those redeemed? Jesus is able. See, and to know, to have your stuff redeemed, lost time, every lonely night, every time you were on drugs, every day you were in the hospital, every dollar you gave to the doctor, Jesus can redeem it. There's nothing he cannot redeem. And sometimes he redeems it to the generations behind us, but he can redeem anything, anything. Jesus will never say, I cannot redeem it. But recently I've been sharing testimonies about healings and stuff, but I would like Cammy to come up, because in RPM, every first and third, it was just last week, so it's like, my mind is every other, but it's first and third. I want Cammy to share some testimonies, a personal testimony, because for the longest time, I've been sharing testimonies, not the longest time, about other healings, but God wants to, you stand up here, Cammy. we're not getting married, surprise. for the longest time, but God wants to do it here. See, I don't share those testimonies just because it's a history lesson or it's somewhere else. We don't read the Bible because that's what happened. We want to put it in our life today. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I was from Moses. See, Moses is dead, but you're still here. Isaiah's gone, but you're still here. Jeremiah's not here, but you're still here. And all the people, you're still here. And he wants to bring his kingdom through you. Amen. So I want Cammy to share some testimonies that God's doing in this house, because I believe there's an increase. You know, like microwave popcorn? You know, it starts slow sometimes, right? And then it's pop, 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 pop. Cammy, go ahead.
So I was wondering how long I was going to have to stand up here. So I'll start with the little one first. So for the past 4 years, I've had real issues with sciatic pain on my right side. And I'm in school, so I sit and study a lot. A lot of my classes are 3 and 4 hours apiece. And so we sit and listen to lectures for 3-4 hours, death by PowerPoint. And on Wednesday night, I had somebody prayed for me, and instantly the sciatic was gone. I've been sitting ever since, studying, because I'm into finals, and the pain is totally gone. So there's my personal, yes, so yes, yay! But then I had some friends come on Wednesday night. Two of them I had been housemates in Mozambique when we were at mission school. And one of them, she's 26 or 27, she's been fighting lymphoma for the last couple of years, going through chemo, radiation. She's 27 and fighting all of that. And she got clear scans last December, but things still just weren't right in her body. It just hadn't gone back to normal. Her hormones were still off. She was still having a lot of hot flashes, which some of the guys won't understand what that is, but girls, you know what I'm talking about. And when she was going through chemo, she was having 18 to 20 of those a day. Just drenching sweat, wipe out her energy, just ruin everything. And even since she's finished the chemo, she's still been having 4 or 5 or 6 a day. And so things just weren't right in her body yet. Well, I got a text from her this morning. So we prayed for her. Let me not forget that part. We prayed for her on Wednesday night. Everybody gathered around. We prayed. We interceded. We stormed the heavens. This morning, she says, "Hello, happy Easter. Could you let your church know that since you guys had prayed for me, God has healed my body of hot flashes? That sounds weird, but when I was doing chemo, I would have 8 to 20 hot flashes a day, and lately it had gone down to 4 or 5. Every time it would happen, I would feel so sick and gross for about 5 minutes. It was really frustrating and felt like a constant reminder that I was sick. But all that to say, they are gone."
Amen. Thank God. And I believe he wants to increase. Amen. And so I believe there's going to be more testimonies and an increase of testimonies. And you know, when you're in pain or you're the one suffering with hot flashes, we don't know what it's like to suffer. I heard a great evangelist who I really have a lot of respect. He said, you know, Jesus didn't heal people to show that he could do it. He showed it so you could do it. And I really disagree with that. And I'm not going to mention his name. I believe Jesus healed people because he loves people. That's why Jesus healed people. It wasn't just to show his power or to show your power. He actually loves people. There's something. Jesus actually loved the woman at the well. He loved the woman with the issue of blood. He loves people. That's why he wants to set them free. The Bible says the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to bring life Amen? And that more abundant. So there's two economies. You know, there's two polars. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There's not six kingdoms. There's not the kingdom of North Korea. There's not your kingdom. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And we function in one or the other. So I just want to read you a scripture, and I talk a little fast. Let me try to slow down because some of you might be like, oh, he's talking fast. Galatians 4, 1 through 7, because Lena talked last week about the cup of redemption and the Passover. That's just one thing, because on the Easter message, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, there's a lot of things we can talk about. Some preachers talk about the overall thing, our salvation, but I just want to focus on one thing, redemption, and we're just going to scratch the surface. See, Jesus has many facets. He's the lion, he's the lamb, he's the oil, he's the bread, he's the water, he's the fire, he's everything. Jesus is everything. Satan is afraid of him. They're not on equal planes. And, you know, and the greatest obstacle to the will of God is not Satan. It is the will of man. It is your will. It is your decisions. Amen. But in Galatians 4, 1 through 7, the Hebrews, for the longest time in the Old Testament, they were under the law. And they were believing for a Messiah. But when he came, he missed it. Let us not miss it today, what God is saying to us. Amen. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. So we're heirs, but we don't differ as we're in a child. But though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. Amen. And because you are his children, God has sent forth the Spirit of God, of his Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That literally means daddy, father, daddy. You can say daddy because you're his child, because he's redeemed you. And when he's redeemed you, he's redeemed your entire life. It's not just about you going to heaven. It's not about you suffering here through earth. And I'm not saying we don't go through trials. And I'm not saying we don't go through tribulations. You know, one of the things I do as I go to Juarez, Mexico and stuff, and I face some tribulations, and I'm going to face more, and they're going to become on a greater level. So I'm not expecting an easy life. But I'm saying whatever bad decision you made, whatever the enemy has stole from you, kill, steal, and destroy, because he wants to kill your purpose. He wants to take your life, and if he can't do that, he wants to steal from you. And so many Christians were stolen from because simply we don't know. We just think it's life. We just think we deserve it. We just think that's generational. Mom always had that. Dad always had that, so you can take from me. You know, one of the things, and sometimes in our life, we have areas that it's very easy for him to steal. I used to live with Alan. We were roommates, and we had, you know, after Harvey, people would scour the neighborhoods looking for houses to rip off. And so I was like, you know what? So I got on Amazon. I ordered some alarm stickers. We didn't have an alarm system. I ordered some alarm stickers and an alarm sign that's actually uses cellular towers, and I put it in the yard, and I put it on the windows as a deterrent. There's areas in our life where we need to say, not Wi-Fi, we need to say the blood. It's protected by the blood. I'm knowledgeable. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Some people simply don't know the rights they have in him. Amen? So Lena talked about hope a couple weeks ago, and hope is joyful expectation. That's what it means in the Bible. It doesn't mean wishful thinking. And God wants to bring hope back in. We repeat the promises, you know, rehearse the promises, repeat the prophecies, the promises that God's had for your life. And if you're in here and you don't have a personal prophecy, God wants you to hear his voice. You have it, you just haven't heard it. It's not just prophecies are in his book. In the book, it's not say, John, I want to do this. There's general things, and God will quicken a word to you when you're reading the word, but he has specific things, amen, for your life. Not just for my life, or the pastor's life, or the guy on TV, or the mega church, or the little church, or the side church, or the minister, your life. God wants to do things in your life, amen? So I really hope that today you listen and say, okay, God, I want it redeemed. I want to bring it to the feet of Jesus, because you can ignore it, act like it doesn't exist. You can talk about what you lost, or you can bring it to Jesus. One of the three. You're going to do one of the three. You're going to ignore it, just like I've lost it, it's forgotten. Or you're going to talk about it. Some people just rehearse what they've lost. That divorce, the money that was stolen. They can tell you the amount. They can tell you the day. They can just keep rehearsing it. Or you can bring it to the feet of Jesus. I went to my friend's house, and his daughter was on the monkey bars, and she was hanging on the monkey bars. And I went behind her, and I said, let go. Well, she didn't know my voice. She was just like straining. And we do that. We strain. But her father walked behind her, and she did not see him, but she heard his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It's his voice. It's his voice. And he said, let go. And he didn't touch her. He said, let go. And she let go, and he caught her because she knew her father would catch her. Today, we're going to let go. We're going to let go of the pain, the past, the lack, the missed opportunities, the bad decisions. And here's the deal. Even if it was your sin or your decision, Jesus can still redeem it. He never puts the blame on you, because when he redeemed you, he redeemed your entire life. And if he saved you, everything else you bring to him is secondary. He'll never say, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. He redeemed you. You know, in the book of Ruth, it's a beautiful illustration of redemption. And it would take weeks. It would take weeks in a series to do it, because there was laws in the Old Testament. There's laws of redemption. Amen. And if you look at the Hebrew words and the Greek words, to redeem, it means to buy back something that was lost. Something, not just a person. To buy back a relative's property. So that's what we're going to look at, property. I'm not saying just physical property. I'm saying stuff that God has meant for you that the devil has stolen today. We're going to get it back. We're going to give it to Jesus. Amen. How does he redeem it? I don't know. He has a million ways. He can put someone in your life. He can put money in your account. He can open a door. He can. Some of us in here have people shut doors that were never meant to be shut. God can redeem it. We can redeem it. So you can take your bitterness and your anger and you say, I wish I would have, could have, should have done it. It's over. Bring it to the feet of Jesus and let go. He is the awesome redeemer. He is the redeemer. He's not a redeemer, some redeemer, any redeemer. He's the redeemer. It's a name they gave Jesus because that's what he does. He redeems. And if he redeemed your salvation, see, a lot of people don't know what was lost in the garden was intimacy. See, we don't know. They just don't know that they lost that. They don't know that they can have that back with Jesus. Salvation is not just saying the sinner's prayer. Salvation is becoming his child. And when you become his child, you're his responsibility. Let me tell you something. I can go into CC's Pizza and all these kids are running around, or Chuck E. Cheese, but when that parent calls that kid, he's responsible. Come here, you're mine. When he's in trouble, that parent, God has a personal interest in your life. Personal, because you're his child. When he redeems you, he redeemed every situation. He already knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times. But what happened? When Peter came back, what happened? 3,000 got saved. That's what he did. He just won. For every denial, there was 1,000 salvations, and that was just the first day. Why? Because Jesus is the redeemer. He can take any pain, any situation. Sometimes he turns it into compassion. There's people that have sinned and did wrong things and never did what God's told them to do. They come to God, and they give him their life, and it's not just salvation, and they give him all the hurt, and what does he do? He gives them compassion, authority, and anointing over situations, but before they were under, now they are on top because of the Redeemer, Jesus. He still redeems, amen? So here comes Ruth, and he's a kinsman redeemer, included property. So Ruth was a Moabitess. Ruth was not even Jewish. She was not Hebrew. She was a Moabitess. And she was in another land, and she worshipped other gods, but she came back with her daughter-in-law. Orpah says, I'm not going back. And Naomi says, let's go back, because there was a famine in Bethlehem. And when they heard the famine was broken, she goes, let's go back. So Ruth goes, I'm going back. Orpah, she never went back. We never hear from her name again. Friends, you have a choice to go back to the way the things were always done, the way you've always lived, or you can follow your Redeemer and he can change your life. Because Ruth, the Moabitess, is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And he took you, someone that was not grafted in the tree, a Gentile, and he engrafted you in to redeem not just you, but your entire bloodline. How you raise your kids, how you speak to your parents, how he redeemed it all. Why? Because he is the Redeemer, amen? There's nothing his blood can't do. It still heals, it still saves, it still changes, it still makes demons flee. Amen. So it's about what you want, because it's your choice. You can ignore what was stolen, you can talk about what was stolen, or you can bring it to the feet of Jesus. Amen. And so he redeemed her. But I want to look at a story in the Bible, David. And I'm just going to read some scriptures, because we looked at the Old Testament and the law. When Boaz redeemed Ruth, he redeemed her and he redeemed Naomi's property. It wasn't just personal. He redeemed what was sold. And so many times we sell our inheritance, we sell our future, we squander things through ignorance or through sin, but nevertheless, friends, it's sold. And Jesus comes along and says, I want to redeem your life, and I want to redeem everything that you ever lost or was broken, and bring it to me. Because when they didn't have enough to feed over the 5,000, what did Jesus do? He said, bring it to me. God, I don't have enough. This is my little life. He said, bring it to me. Not the disciples. He said, bring it to me. And he took it. He blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it back. And when he gave it back, it was to share. Because God does not just want you to have a happy life or redeem your life, but he wants you to share him, because he is able to, he still changes lives, amen? I don't know when the last time you shared Jesus. I don't know the last time you actually prayed for something. I'm not talking in church, which is awesome. I'm talking about out there in your workforce. Because, you know, when they see you, that may be, that could be the life-changing, the gate that opens. Every, you know, I love hearing testimonies. I live here in Tesla from Reinhard Bunker, whatever, people that you don't know, but there was always a point, and usually it's a person that said something. I've heard people in prison that they were in prison, and all of a sudden, years later, they get on their knees and they remember something they heard in children's church. They haven't been back to church since. And there was a door that they opened. You know, we say, don't leave the door for the devil. Well, you can leave the door open for God, too, and he can come in. Sometimes he just needs a little bit, and he can, because he knocks. But you have to open up, amen? So when David and his men, David had a promise he was going to be king. But he was not in Jerusalem yet. He was still under the Philistines' rule, and he was roaming to and fro. He didn't have a place yet. And that's like some of us. We have the promises of God, and we're not there yet, and we feel like wanderers, amen? We feel like we're just searching, and we don't really know where we're going to land. Yes, we believe God, and yes, we know he has promises for him, but we haven't seen the fullness yet. And this is David. And he had a band of men, and he was in Ziklag, and he left to go raid. And when they came back, the Amalekites took everything. They burned where he was, and they took everything. And so he got ripped off. So it says, I'm going to read to you. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire. Their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. All the families were gone of his men. All the livestock was gone, and his homes were burned. But he wasn't king yet. He had a promise from God. And he says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. They were like, we're going to stone you. They were talking about it. He heard it. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's the first thing. We need to strengthen ourselves. How do you do that, John? You remember what he said over your life. You rehearse what he said over your life. God, what did you say? And you begin to hurt, because we will go through seasons. If you're not in it now, you will go through seasons where it looks like totally against everything he's promised you. He's promised you financial breakthrough. All of a sudden, you look at your checking account, oh, overdrawn. You know, he's promised you, you know, a spouse. Oh, you know, another wedding where you just got to sit. You know, it's like, and so what do? You have to rehearse the promises. You have to strengthen yourself in the Lord, because I can't do it. See, I can encourage you and I can strengthen you for a little bit, but it's your choices Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday morning, even when you leave here. It's your choices to be depressed or discouraged, or God, here's the promises. I'm going to rehearse. So David strengthened himself in the Lord. That was first. And then David asked God, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? See, we have to go to God. He didn't go to the men. Hey, you guys, we think we're strong enough? Because if you look around and you look at your life, no, you're not. But when you go to God, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That means wherever you are, Jesus is. Whatever situation you're in, Jesus is. And there's no situation he cannot overcome if we go to him. Amen. Not our wisdom, not our self-help books, not always our friends. I'm not against godly counsel. But there's a time when you must get in the place when it's just you and God, and you begin to talk to him. Because when you stand before him, you're going to be accountable for the gifts and talents he's put in your life. Not if you like my preaching, not if when you just got saved. He's going to say, I've given you one, I've given you two, I've given you five, where's my reward? And you're going to have to bring it forth. And you, if you don't know who you are, and if you don't know what he's called you to do, you can live your entire life saved, but not victorious. And he doesn't want that. Jesus doesn't want you to go zzz. He wants you to be effective. And I'm not saying well-known, but I'm saying effective. There's missionaries we've never heard of, but they're effective. And I'm not saying they even led anybody to Christ, but that one person later, there's something they did that was effective. And he wants your life effective, means to change something. Atmospheres, people, nations, your families, generational things, and you have the power. I mean, I come from my great-grandpa hung my grandpa upside down in a barn and horsewhipped him. Horsewhipped him. My dad was a very stern man. He was a heavy drinker. So I had a choice when I got saved. I can continue that, or I can say, you know what? I want to plant a new tree. Jesus redeemed my life. That is history. That's their history, but I'm planting a new tree. It's not just a physical DNA of where I came from, but it's a spiritual DNA. God, what do you have for me? Because before you were born, he has a plan for your life. He has the scroll, things he's called you to do. Not just your family, not just this church, not just America, what he's called great things, not just Israel, you. And so when there's a scroll, there was things written. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Before you were ever born, things, and we squander and we lose. Because what's the first thing? We have to recognize we were ripped ripped off. David recognized that. Let me tell you something. That's harder than you realize that you're stolen, because people think, oh, it's just karma. First of all, as a believer, never say that. Never say karma. Karma doesn't exist. There's people that live their entire life ripping people off, stealing from people. Karma never gets them, and then they stand before God and give an account. Friends, this is not, oh, that's karma. That's karma. As Christians, don't even use that word karma. Say, that's God. God, I want you to redeem everything that was stolen from me, multiplied back sevenfold. Because it says in Proverbs, when the thief is found out, he must pay. He doesn't pay until he's found out. You must say, you know what? I got ripped off. I squandered it. I made bad choices. I did things. And it's not about guilt. God, I did bad things. And say, God, here's my brokenness. Here's my hurt. You forgave me for the sins, God. Now I want you to redeem you for that time. I want you to redeem those finances. Every day I was in the hospital, every day of loneliness, worry, he can redeem it. How many believe that? Either he's the redeemer or he's not. He's the Savior or he's not. Either he rose from the tomb or he didn't. You choose, because it's your life. You were the one ripped off. You were the one that made those bad choices. You were the one that gave him away. And you could talk about it, forget about it, or bring it to the feet of the Redeemer. Your choice. There's three. So David asked, I pursue this troop. And there was found an Egyptian. The Amalekites had an Egyptian slave that became sick, so they left him. David found him. They fed him. They say, hey, where you are? And he says, hey, this is where the troops says, don't kill me. God will always make a way. He wasn't in the field just for no reason. God was going to point David to where it was stolen. There always is a way. And friends, let me tell you something. It wasn't a sign. It was a neon sign. It was a foreign slave who was sick. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise that one scripture, that one prophecy, that one glimmer of hope. Sometimes it's just he was sick. That he had to feed him just for him to talk. It wasn't like, here I am, David. I'm going to take you to the army. God gave me a word. It was like, who are you? And you could see the divine hand leading David to the people. And then they went. And when he brought them down, there they were. There's the enemies were. They were spread out over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken. I want you guys to hear this. From the land of the Philistines and the land of Judah. It wasn't just David's stuff that was there. It was they were raiding a long time and there was way more stuff. When God wants to redeem your life, he wants to give you more than what was stolen. When the thief is caught, he must pay how many times? Seven. And I'm not saying it's always a literal seven, but I'm always saying it's more than what you were stolen if you bring it to Jesus. Not if you just talk about it or weep about it or regret about it, if you bring it to Jesus. Because there's people there's Christians. When I say people, I'm talking about believers. They live with regret their entire life, and they never bring those regrets to God and say, God, redeem it. The time that I missed with my family and the time I was fighting with my spouse and the time, those seasons and times, he can redeem it, and he can give you wisdom on how to bring it back, amen, if you believe. All things are possible if you believe. It's belief in what? In his goodness. We talk about why he heals, because he loves people. He loves you. He saved you. He saved your entire life, and when he saved you, he knew every mistake you were ever going to make, and still he chose you. He chose you. His spirit went after you to bring you in. So they found an Egyptian. And when they brought him down there, they spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So there was a lot of people. So if there was 400 that fled, except that was a lot of people that died that day, and that was a lot of spoil. So there it was. David saw his wives, his soldiers' wives, and he saw everything else, livestock, and nothing was theirs, small or great. Because when you hear the story, say, David recovered all. Instantly, you think David just took back what he lost. Friends, now, this is not that story. David did not just take back what he lost. He took back more than he lost. Amen? And he says, so the second is, do you want it back? First, you must recognize that it was stolen from you and that you have loss and regret, sickness that wasn't yours. You know, some people have relationships that weren't theirs and God didn't bring them into life and divorce. And first, you must understand there was loss. And second of all, do you want it back? Do you want it restored? Do you want it redeemed? Because it's personal. Salvation was personal and so is this. It's your choice. Nobody can redeem it for you. Nobody could let go. I couldn't let go for the little girl that was hanging on the monkey bars. But when she heard her father's voice, and he said, let go, she let go. And you can let go of everything that's ever obstructed you. Because, you know, I've had many words about business and finances. And some of it's been delayed. And some of it's, okay, God, some of it's my choices. It's not about beating yourself up. Go, man, God, you know what? I don't know what mistakes I made. I don't know what I did, but I'm going to bring it to the feet of Jesus, and I'm asking you to redeem it, Lord, and I'm asking you to bring back more than I would have made in the begin with, and then he'll start bringing things and resources and people and ways and exits to where it should go, because it's not about just us living in a 20,000 square foot house and having five Ferraris, friends. He didn't redeem you just for you, but don't you want your kids or your friends or your family? I mean, I pray for my mom and dad, there's salvations, and they died saved. And I pray for my brothers. See, they're on my heart. When you care for somebody, they're on your heart. You pray for them. Cammie brought her friend to RPM because she needed prayer, and so she rejoices in that, right? There's a symbol of redemption in that. He's not just about her being saved. It's about her getting out of pain. When you're in pain, that's all you ever think about. People say, pray for my pain. They pray, and they go away. When you're the one in pain, that's all you ever think about. It's on your mind. You know who knows that? God. He knows that, amen? Do you think it's possible? So when David came back to Ziklag, he said he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. I want you to notice that. It wasn't David's stuff. David recovered all. But he had so much that he took over that there was enough, okay? To those who were in Bethel, Ramoth, the south. I want you to know, look at all these places. I'm not going to pronounce them, people, because I'll butcher them. In the cities. Those were in the city, see? Those were in Hormah. And many other cities. Those were in the cities. Those were in Hebron. And he says, and to all the places where David and himself were accustomed to rove. Over 13 places listed, many more. If you know something about David, he was a generous man. David just didn't give one sheep and a couple of loaves of bread. Over 13 places that David gave livestock to, plunder, gold, silver, that was not his. Why? Because he recovered more than all. How many want their lives redeemed? Not just what was stolen from you, what you gave away, what you wronged, but the redemption of more than enough. Amen? How about the revivals that were stalled? How about bringing for that? And sometimes it's generational. Sometimes it's not you. Sometimes it's the next generation. So we have a choice. You can ignore what you could have did, where you could have been, what you could. Because I think everybody in here, I've had so many decisions I would like back. Am I the only one? So many decisions. I mean, seasons of sin or wrong thinking or just low-level thinking or insecurity or not thinking you're the one or thinking it's someone else's place or not standing in your rightful place. All those seasons where God wanted to use you or touch you. All those times where he wanted to be intimate with you. And we'd push him away. All those seasons, all those times of passion that we could have had. I mean, I want it back. I want it redeemed more than enough. Over 13 cities listed, plus many more. So David recovered all he had, and then he recovered. He says, look, from the spoil of the enemies, because the devil has a lot of spoil from a lot of Christians. There's mantles that have fallen that people never take up. There's anointings, there's things, there's nations and stuff. How many want to go there? How many? You have a choice. It's your choice. See, Easter Sunday, or Jesus rising from the dead, is about power. It's about his forgiving of your sins, but it's not just that. It's about redeeming your entire life. It's not just redeeming, all right, I'm redeemed, I'm going to go to heaven. No, now he's enabled you and said, you know what? I want you to break those generational curses, John. I want you to break those trees. I want you to replant the trees, not just in your life, in the life of others. I want you to think different, talk different. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You know, I remember I was praying about something. I was in a meeting, and I was praying about something, and this man called me up. A lot of you know him, Dale Gentry. He's come here many times, and he says, what you're praying about, three things. And it was. He goes, that's not even the issue. He goes, you need to get your head up higher. He goes, international significance, great significance. And I'm not sharing that word to brag. I'm just saying, I thought that was my world. Those were three things that I needed done. And God says, John, I want you to bring your thoughts up a little higher. So today, we need to bring ourselves up a little higher and say, God, here. So just, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and think about, because this is your life. This is not my life. This is not the church's life. This is your life. This is your future. These are your kids. This is your money and the nations you're supposed to go to and the people you're supposed to touch. This is your life. Jesus chose the disciples individually. He just didn't say everybody. He chose them, and he chose you specifically, and he's put you specifically on that, and he's chosen your life. And so you have a choice today. You can ignore what was stolen, not recognize what was stolen, not care about what you could have had or should have had or where you should be or what he's called you to do, or you can bring it at the feet of Jesus. So you're not too young or too old. Even the young person say, God, I want you to redeem my life. I don't want to make all the mistakes that other people made. I don't want to sit in this chair 50, 60, 70 years old with regrets. God, I want to give you my entire life. Jacob says in Genesis 48:16, he says, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. The angel was Jesus. He wrestled with Jesus. He says, the angel who has redeemed me. Jesus is here to redeem everything of your life. Let it go. Jesus says, I came to destroy the works of the devil. You can ignore it, talk about it, or you can bring it to your Redeemer. Father, I thank you for touching your children. I thank you for sending your Son, not just to redeem a part of our life or to change a part of our life, God, but to change it all. I thank you for breaking generational curses and resetting generational mindsets, not just curses, but generational mindsets, God, that we don't need to be like that. It's not about looking back and dissing your parents or dissing your grandparents, but it's saying, God, I want everything you have for me. I want to go to every nation you've called me to go, or start every business, or go to get every degree, or paint every painting, or preach every sermon, or walk on the lands, or touch every person, or put my hands on their head, and to see every healing you've called me to see. And God, everywhere we've missed it, Lord, we want to bring it to your feet. Jesus, you're still the Redeemer. The Redeemer. You're still the Redeemer. You still save people and change people and move people and shift nations. I thank you, you're coming with fire and a fork, and you're bringing in the harvest, God. And I thank you for saving. God, I thank you for saving each person here and bringing them here. But God, I thank you for bringing us into the fullness of everything you've called us to be. I thank you for the things you've already started in this church, God. I thank you for the healings that you've done in the past and every generational thing you've done in the past, God. And I bless you for it. And I thank you for an increase, God. And I thank you when David overtook them, his enemies, God, he just didn't bring in enough for himself, but he brought enough to share. God, give us that heart to share the anointing, to share your power, to share your love, God. I thank you, you heal people because you love them. You give purpose and destiny because you love them. Every young person in here, I thank you for their life, God. I thank you for their future. I thank you for speaking to them in ways, God, in new ways, creative ways, dreams, visions, your word. I thank you for even just unctions, God, even when they're driving down the road. I thank you for opening doors that have been shut to people for far too long, God. I thank you for all the insecurities in this place to break off, God, to say, I can't. Instead of saying, I can't, I'm too scared, we look to you, Jesus, and say, with you, all things are possible, God. I will go where you say. I will pray for who you pray. I will give what you tell me to give, God. I want you to redeem my life. Every dry season, every broken season, every season that was not, every revival that should have been, every door that should have opened, every person I should have met, God, I ask you to redeem it, God. I ask you to redeem the time of my families, God, and our healing and our bodies, God. Every day we were in the hospital, every day we worried, every broken relationship, God, redeem it today, Jesus, because you're the Redeemer. Just say in your heart, let go. Let go. We're hanging on the bars. We're hanging on things. And we think that's just our lot in life. We think that's just the way it is, the way we were raised. It's always going to be like this. Lord, I thank you for redeeming it, Jesus. There's nothing you can't redeem. You took Gentiles and put them in your tree. You took fishermen and made them disciples, God. You changed entire family lineages. You took a man who was a deceiver and you called him prince. An entire nation is named after Jacob. When the world says you, man labeled him, you are a deceiver. God comes along. He wrestles with Jesus, and Jesus is the angel who redeemed my life from every evil. Jesus, you came along and you changed his name. You changed his identity. No longer will you be deceiver, but I'm going to call you Israel. Israel is not named after Abraham. It's not named after Isaac. It's named after the deceiver, and he changed his name. He changed his identity. So the question is, who are you and what do you see? When he changes your name, he changes who you are and your identity. You're a prince. You're a princess, you're a son, you're a daughter. And when he redeemed you, he just didn't want you to come to heaven. He wanted you to know him here on earth. He wanted you to share him here on earth. And he just didn't save you so you could witness. He saved you because he loves you. And when you get filled with his love, you can't help but save to tell someone else. When you get filled with the love of God that he has for you, and some of us in here, we need first to experience his love before we start thinking about evangelism and nations and prophecies. We need, Lord, your love. So, Father, I thank you for touching your children, God. They're your children. They're not the church's possession. They're not just a member of this church, Lord. They are your sons. They are your daughters. I thank you for touching their life, God. I thank you for touching their children. I thank you for speaking. The parents will begin to speak words over their kids. See each child with a different purpose and a different destiny. Some will go to a university. Some will go to Bible college. Some will just be missionaries. God, let us not dictate what we're going to do or where we're going to go or when we're going to move or what we're going to say. God, we want you, Lord. So we lay it at your feet, Jesus. I thank you for touching every person in here, God. And we let go of every wrong decision, every season of sin, every day of dryness, because Jesus, you are the Redeemer. There's nothing you can't redeem, or there's nothing you won't redeem. When the thief is caught, he must pay sevenfold. And so this morning we're saying, you know what? I caught you. I don't want you stealing from me anymore. I don't want you taking me. I don't want you shutting doors. I don't want you bringing that sickness and disease, that ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We simply don't know. But today, God, we say, you know what? I recognize I was ripped off. And some of it I squandered, and some of it I gave away. And some of it on the bank account of my purpose and destiny, I gave to the enemy. I gave him the code to the safe. And he opened up my heart, and he put in odd against somebody else, or unforgiveness, or bitterness. And I begin to look at man. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for we are encouraging ourselves in you, God. We remember what you said over us, corporately and individually, God. And Satan, we want it back. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, to our enemy who is saying, it's ours. We had more than enough power to go in. You know that song, I'll go to the enemy's camp, took back what he stole from you. That's not just a nice song. Can you people sing the song in church and they go home the same? Go, no, Lord, we want it back, and we're going to lay it at your feet, Jesus, to redeem it. Give us the wisdom, the insight, the decisions. Lord, I thank you for divine appointments, divine connections coming in people's lives, Lord, to shift in their mentality and purpose and destiny to go, I'm not just sitting in a chair, but I want everything you have for me. Jesus is the Redeemer. I thank you, Lord, for redeeming our lives. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Jacob suffered. David suffered. They went through hard times. The Bible's not full of just people having an easy life. Obstructions. And if you're anything like me, man, I tell you what, if we could, I could make a list of all the decisions, all the times, all the seasons I'd have back, we'd be here all day. But like the little girl on the monkey bars, when she heard their father's voice saying, let go, God, we let go of our rights. We're not just going to talk about what was stolen, what we missed, the times and the seasons and the days. I thank you for increase in everybody's life here, God. The times we were in sin and away from you, Lord, I thank you for the redemption of souls and evangelism to come back on us, Lord, to bring back people that we never would have been. Some of us, we've lived lives that God didn't choose for us, but he's going to redeem it. All things work together for good. All things are not good, but all things work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Whatever you put in his hands, because his hands are pierced, whatever you put in his hands, he can redeem in your life. Amen? Not one time, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Not just seven. And some will bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold. I look back on my family tree and the generations and all those things, and I don't know who was saved and who was not. I know who wasn't. I know how they were raised, and I know I have a choice, and you have a choice. We can keep giving them access and thinking it's for someone else and thinking that, oh, he doesn't love me enough, or it's they're special. That's for the ministers. You know, the ministers, that's the ones on stage or the mega churches or this. Or you could say, no, it's simply you're his child. That's the only requirement. Salvation. He redeemed us for salvation. And when he redeemed your entire life. He just didn't redeem a part. Well, I just want just to save your spirit, and then you're just going to have to suffer in this. Amen? So just the next week or so, I want you guys to be aware of things that he brings to your memory. That things like, you know what? That when the regret comes or the decisions or just like recognizing, you know, and it's not about beating yourself up or wishing you were someone else or wishing you were somewhere else or wishing you did something else. It's about allowing God to bring back the fullness in your life. Amen. In every single area. Amen.